Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he took them up in his arms, and he blessed them. There's a liturgical term that is used to describe the meaning of Holy Communion. It's referred to as a foretaste of the feast to come. That is, we believe theologically and we practice that this little meal we share, this bit of bread and cup, are a little bit of heaven. And there are complicated theologies that sometimes agree and overlap, but mostly disagree on how that is. And the whole notion of what is it about this that's a little bit of heaven kind of gets lost on us. Well, in this particular passage, Jesus makes it simple. If you want to know what a little bit of heaven is like, look at a child. Take a child in your arms. This business of relating to children has been a work in progress for me. I've climbed the learning curve. I've got a ways to go. And I have learned that if Jesus is right, that children are a little bit of heaven, it's not because they're especially generous or even grateful. They're, by and large, self-centered, demanding. They need to be taught. And yet, Jesus says, "I don't know what heaven is like. Here's this child." Well, I started to wonder this week, in light of having spent a week on the beach on vacation with 4 of the 6 grandchildren, learning a few things about life and love and children. What is it about kids that makes them heaven-like? This is Jesus' version of the popular book from now a generation ago, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. What do we learn from children that gives us a window on, or even helps us experience a foretaste of the feast to come? Children, I have learned, fortunately, as they relate to me, they don't hold grudges for very long. I learned this on the beach again. Jeannie bought the 2 girls that were with us, 4 and 6, just these adorable little hippie dresses from a place called the Happy Shack on the beach, right? And they were running around the house and on the beach in these adorable little dresses. Well, I'm the paparazzi in the family. If you hang around me long enough, you're going to get a camera pointed at you until you're uncomfortable. Well, I just have to get a picture of these 2 girls with these dresses because it's just unholy cute. And Ava, the 6-year-old, was more or less willing, and Lily, the 4-year-old, was busy. She was seated at the counter drinking a Capri Sun, and she wasn't done with it. I thought, oh, come on. So, I just said, let's leave this here, and I turned her chair around, and she, no, and squawked at me, Now, as I say, I'm climbing the learning curve. 3 or 4 years ago, I would have pushed it. I let it go. And I actually thought to myself, and this is growth for me, I'll live without the picture if that's how it works out, But I had really annoyed the 4-year-old with this. Not for the first time, hopefully not the last. Well, an hour later, she's sitting in my lap singing me songs. It's over. Children don't hold grudges for long. And the reason this is heaven-like is grudges hurt us. It's like giving somebody you really don't want to be around and frankly can't stand most of the time. It's giving them license to live rent-free in your head, which clutters up your head. As a child would. If you want to know what heaven is like, it's without resentment. It's without grudge. I don't know how God makes that work. But when we can take a breath, let it go, or at least put it more distant, we find ourselves a little closer to what God has planned for us and what God intends and what we can see when we stand next to a child. Resentments hurt us. The people we're angry with could care less most of the time. They may not even know it. So don't let them live rent-free in your head. As a child, experience a little more heaven-like in your life. They don't hold grudges very long. Secondly, they don't make They don't make distinctions among things that are essentially the same. The other four-year-old, the little guy, spent a lot of time gathering seashells. Well, this is one of those beaches where by the time the seashells hit the shore, they're mostly busted up. He didn't care. He had a bucket full of what amounts to busted up seashells that were kind of a treasure for him, right? And he didn't seem to know or care that that one's not as big as this one, or this one's more broken than the other, or that color is just flat out not as pretty as the one you might have picked up. For him, they're all the same. They are all the same. Children do not distinguish differences and make judgments about and put into hierarchies things that are essentially the same. Like people. I mean, we're all different. Some of us are a little more busted up than others. Some of us, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We're different, but does that difference have to be hierarchical? Unfortunately, it is a lot of the time. Children don't seem to be worried as much about that. And I think that's why Jesus said, if you want to know what heaven is like, it's a little bit like this, where there are differences without distinction, and those differences are celebrated. How do I know this? Well, I don't for sure. But I got an idea that the God who made the earth, which is pretty darn big and has a lot of really different kinds of people on it, and put the sun 93 million miles from here, on purpose apparently, because 92 million miles would have cooked us and 94 million miles we would freeze. It's precisely where it needs to be for this place to inhabit all the people God apparently intends to live here. And that's just a small part of a mass of sun-like stars. And who knows how many planets, maybe even other people. Who's to say it isn't? The point is, in light of all of that, the silly distinctions that people make about political party or skin color or what kind of people should be allowed or not allowed to get married, those kinds of distinctions seem pretty silly after a very short period of time. And I think we can learn that those kinds of distinctions are rather silly by watching a four-year-old collect a treasure chest full of seashells, every one of which is equally important and equally valuable. Children don't hold grudges very long, and they don't make distinctions, meaningful differences, among the same types of things. A little bit of heaven. Finally, children, I think, are heaven-like because, unlike the rest of us, they don't seem to know that they are not perfect. They don't seem to know that. I think that's kind of a relief, in a way. Now, we know we're not perfect, and yet, part of us tells ourselves every single day, if you just pay a little bit closer of attention, work just a little bit harder, try this in a slightly different way, if not perfect, you can get a little bit closer. Try a little harder, because you're not quite good enough. And then, on your best day, when you feel more perfect than you probably are, you feel compelled to run around setting the rest of the world straight. So you're either an obsessive control freak, or you're judging other people. Children don't seem to understand this. They don't seem to know that they're not perfect, which is a blessing. Here's how insane this gets after a while. Arguably, and we have judged this, the world's greatest painter in the history of humankind, Leonardo da Vinci, is arguably the world's greatest artist. We've put his paintings on hierarchies. I would say that probably what most of us would say is his third best painting, after the Mona Lisa and after the Last Supper fresco in Milan, Madonna of the Rocks is probably his third most famous painting. What a lot of people don't know is that Da Vinci painted that painting twice. There are two versions of Virgin on the Rocks. One hangs in the Louvre in Paris. The other is in the British Museum in London. They're essentially the same. The characters are positioned in the same way. Mother and child, rocks, obviously. But the lighting is different. The color is different. They're slightly differently sized. Well, there are art historians that have made a career out of trying to decide which one is better. It's Da Vinci. Oh, yeah, the one in London. second rate. Arguably, the one that hangs in Paris was painted first, and so some say that makes it better. It's Da Vinci, for crying out loud. And yet we feel compelled, as a child does not, to put differences in hierarchies seeking perfection. I will show you what our grandchildren think, and I believe are quite correct, is a perfect picture. That's perfect. Lily's birthday, the smaller of the two, was her fourth birthday, and while we were on the beach. And we bought her this easel and brought it down with us and just let the kids have at it. And she and Ava, the six-year-old, are painting what I think is a perfect picture. I'm not sure what it is, but they don't know that this is not precisely the best there is, because they don't know that they are not precisely the best that they can be. I like what the author Frederick Buechner says about children, especially in light of this little insight about the painting. He says this: when the disciples, over earnest as ever, asked Jesus who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See? Even the disciples. We still want to know the answer to that question, don't we? Jesus pulled a child out of the crowd and said the greatest in the kingdom of heaven were people like this. 2,000 years of homiletic sentimentalizing to the contrary notwithstanding, Jesus was not playing Captain Kangaroo. This is the part I like the best. He was saying that the people who get into heaven are people who, like children, don't worry about it too much. They are people who, like children, live with their hands open more than with their fists clenched. They are people who, like children, are so relatively unburdened by preconceptions that if somebody says there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, they're perfectly willing to go take a look for themselves. It seems to me that when Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me," he needed the company of those who, even if he annoyed them, wouldn't hold on to it very long, who made no distinction about whether the other kids in the crowd should get there first or any better than they are, and who didn't know that in Jesus' company, we are perfect. Heaven is a perfect place. We cannot attain it. We don't know what it's like for real. But we can look into the big blue and brown eyes of our children and know that one day, and the day will come, that we will be perfected. And which version of the painting is better will be as irrelevant then as it is now, along with everything else that divide us, that put others on hierarchies, or that seek in some way, form, or fashion to prevent us, through grudges and other things, from experiencing the perfect good that God intends for the perfect good that we are. Amen.